After catching up with Beck and Soda, get ready for Giving Day for the Hospital Research Foundation Group this Thursday from 9am to 9pm. Your donations will be doubled at hospitalresearch.org.au/give. SAFM's Beck and Soda. SAFM's Beck and Soda for breakfast.
The podcast.
Hey, if you missed it at 8:30 this morning, your code word to get on the shortlist to go see Pink in Paris is escargot, as
yep.
in snails.
Beautiful, 13:10:60. You just got to have a listen out throughout the day when you're listening to SAFM for the cue to call, and you could go in to see Pink in Paris. Coming up in the podcast, there's a lot of talk about Chris Hemsworth. So if you have a think about that Greg Norman, the what was it, a pic on Instagram, wasn't
it? Yeah, it does live rent-free in my head, that
image. Walking his dog on the beach and he was swinging his driver at the same time. Well, this Chris Hemsworth thing is not dissimilar.
I've studied it. I've tried to work out whether it's just a crease in the pants when he's lying on the yoga mat, but it's not. There's something causing that crease and it's significant.
He's working out his legs in the video, all three of them.
And it is a community service announcement because we received a text while we were on over this morning saying, thanks, Beck, I'm on it. And the views have just skyrocketed. That was 17 million.
That's amazing.
Anyway, good luck to him. Good luck to him.
And good luck to everyone else associated with him.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, Rebecca. Hello, Adelaide, South Australia. Hope everyone has had a beautiful start to the morning. If you're just climbing, getting yourself out, the alarm may have gone off. Beck, can you just reveal, we were having a little chat before we've started, about the conversation that you and your husband had at dinner last night, because we just heard in the news that Western Australian Premier Mark McGowan has pulled the pin.
Yes, well, that was the subject of the dinner table conversation.
Wow, that is taking next level, isn't it?
And then we had this really fun pop quiz. Mm. We had a little competition to see who could name the premiers and chief ministers around Australia.
That's actually probably more depressing than talking about the weather with your partner, isn't it?
But the depressing thing for me was, I forgot that Dominic Perrottet had left it in New South Wales. Did you think that as well, that Dominic Perrottet was
Isn't
still...
Gladys Berejiklian in the...
No, she was
premier?
Before him. Right. Couldn't get the new bloke's name.
Right.
Didn't know Tassie. Knew Dan Andrews in Victoria. I'm now swatting up on the premiers after our dinner table conversation. So that was fun.
Was it?
And then what was it?
How do you even get to that point at a dinner table conversation?
Because James works at the ABC now, so that's what he talks about all day. Premiers. Wow. But then Frankie was also at the table. She was our only child joining us for dinner last night. And then we said to her, because we wanted to include her in this exciting political discussion that mum and dad were having before she fell asleep in her ravioli. And we said, okay, we'll start with an easy one for you, Frankie, who've just come back from a week in Canberra with a school trip.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name the Australian Prime Minister?
Mm.
And she didn't know. What were you doing over there? Just going to Questacon all day? She didn't know it. And then I said, his name's Anthony. And then she got Albanese.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell is going on?
Mrs. Fu, what did you do over there?
What were you doing at dinner? This is what the conversation descends into in the Morse household.
What do you talk about at the dinner table? I don't know. I like talking politics at the dinner table.
Wow.
Anyway, I still can't remember the new New South Wales Premier's name. Chris somebody? I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Mm. Righto.
You want to start the show?
Fascinating insight into what's going on in your household.
Wow.
Yeah, she didn't know the opposition leader either. But
who's the opposition leader?
Peter Dutton.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't know him.
I can't wait to find out what you're talking about
tonight.
Yeah,
exciting.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda. Oh my gosh, look at these trending topics.
The internet has gone into meltdown over a little detail. It's a very big detail. In Chris Hemsworth's new workout video. Now, so I don't sound like a thirsty mama, Soda.
Well, let's just say that it's not just the internet that's gone over... Well, into meltdown, because you have been into meltdown for probably the last hour or so. You keep showing me this video and showing me this picture and you go, can you get a look at Chris Hemsworth?
Focus.
Well, it's had 2 million views and let's just say 1 million of them were mine.
17 million.
17 million?
Yes.
Last time I checked, it was 2 million.
It says this training clip has racked up 17 million views.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. This is the story I've got. It's gone up to 17 million because people like you are talking about this. Look, take your mind back. If you remember seeing that picture on Instagram of Greg Norman walking his dog on the beach, remember it was Greg, his dog, and
no
his driver.
No memory of it. No, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Chris Hemsworth has outdone him.
Okay. So basically, the caption is, good little session, finishing it strong with some core. It shows a series of exercises. The final exercise is him lying flat on a mat and he's lifting. He's doing a straight left leg lift up to the Bosu ball. But as he does the lift, his shorts pull and
it's phenomenal. No, look, it's just, it's ridiculous.
It's snagged on something.
It really catches on something.
He's just an astounding. Look, he was Thor, yeah? Mm.
Yeah, he was Thor.
Well, we can see where Thor has his hammer. There is no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah, there's the hammer. It's legs day and he's working all three of them.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good friend of our show, Kelly Finlayson. She was diagnosed at 25 with bowel cancer. She's now 27. She's a young mum. She's a wonderfully, wonderfully courageous lady who is out spreading the word. And despite her terminal diagnosis with the cancer that spread into her lung from her bowel cancer, Beck, she's just so courageous because she is out there trying to get people to make sure they go and get checked, that make sure that they can detect things early on so that they don't get in a similar situation. Kel, there's a bit going on at the moment. We thought we'd check in and see how you're doing. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Oh, we love seeing you on the project tonight in the paper today. Just give us the very latest on your prognosis and how you're travelling.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of confusion taken from the project airing last night. As much as it is really good news and things are working in a way that they should be with the chemotherapy, unfortunately, I'm not cancer-free. Like, it's been taken and spread on a few news outlets now, but I guess that's the media for you. But, yeah, I'm so grateful to have these outlets and be able to use them to, like, create awareness. But obviously it sucks when it's taken out of context and spread in the wrong way.
So, Kel, essentially you're in the middle of another bout of chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Tell us, how is that going and what has been the response from that?
Yeah, so I am still going through chemo. I actually finished up with one of my regimes a few weeks ago, but opted to keep going just out of fear of relapsing. Last week's chemo hit me worse than I've probably ever had and ended up being admitted, which sucks. But at the same time, I'm alive to tell the story, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's working really well, but now I'm in the mix of the losing hair, losing identity, et cetera. While planning the next phase.
And you're still keeping your head up and you're still sharing your day in the life, which I love watching, Kel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're a champ.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm just doing what I can. Hopefully good karma comes around and I save a few lives so that they save my life.
Absolutely, Kel. We are in awe of just your absolute courage and your inspiration. And look, your message to people is still very, very strong, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Early detection is key.
When will you get your next bunch of test results? When can we keep an eye out for your next development?
I've got a couple months, so end of July I should have another update.
Yeah, Kel. Yep. Well, our thoughts are with you, our love is with you, and you know, you just keep fighting well and hope the family's going well. I know the husband, Jeremy's going all right with his footy, so he'd be certainly making you watch a bit of that to keep the spirits up, wouldn't you, right now?
Yeah, I think I'm as much of a fangirl as Beck at the moment.
Well, I set the bar pretty high for you, Kel.
Yeah, you do. You're right.
All right, thanks, Kel. We're thinking of you and sending our love and strength as always.
No, thanks for the chat, guys.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
13, 10, 60 is an oldie but a goodie. You know you're old when. So I've got a couple of group chats going with some different girlfriends.
Yep.
Back in the day, they would be about, you know, a relationship that one of them might be in, a rocking Saturday night, how bad's your hangover this morning?
Of course.
That kind of vibe.
All the girlfriends, just a normal chat.
Yeah. It's taken a turn recently, and I think it's a real sign of the aging demographic I am moving into because we are now chatting about hormone replacement
what?
For menopause and combating hot flushes.
These are the same women that not that long ago were talking about big nights out in the city.
Yep, how quickly it's turned. So I'm going to leave the author of this message anonymous to protect her. Mm-hmm. But it's I've started taking Hormone Harmony and Hormone Harmony Plus. Mm. I was only taking the Hormone Harmony by itself for a little while. Mm. But then I started getting the hot flushes again. Mm. So I've added the Plus and now I don't get them anymore and I'm sleeping through the night.
That's fantastic. Good. The Hormone Harmony.
Plus.
Wow. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. It's hot flush chat. Oh, thanks for your advice. Yep. And now we're all trying that particular supplement. As you know, I've got my little powder, little hormone thing that I take every morning to help with bloating, which is a symbol of peri-frickin' menopause. Ooh. I tell you what is going on with my life.
Is that because the pause is creeping up very, very soon?
Well, I think I'm peri.
What age is pause?
Well, I think it varies, but I think it's late 40s.
Oh, really?
Which I'm not at quite yet.
No. But clearly,
on the horizon.
Your friend Harmony and Harmony Plus, they're into it.
Well, one of the symptoms of peri is violent mood swings. So I ask you, Soda.
Yes. Well,
am I perimenopausal?
What is post-peri?
No.
Is that just menopausal? That's just smack bang right in the middle of it. Yeah, between, I'm just looking here, between the, say, 45 and 55.
Yeah.
That's when
I'm in the
pause
sweet spot, baby.
Sneaks in. Oh.
I think I'm having one now. In my
Well, you've been itching and scratching all day, and you're trying to tell us that it's your woolen jumper you're wearing earlier.
Maybe it's the pause.
I think it could be the pause coming right now. Oh. It is one of those signs, though, when you're aging, because now when your conversations with your girlfriends have, well, really
turned
delved
to hormone
into
replacement
that sort
therapy.
Of thing. I'll tell you one thing that I notice as a bloke, and my mates do, is it's the physical condition of your body.
Yeah.
So I've got to think, in the last few weeks, I've done my calf going for a jog, right? I thought I was a kid, so I got on my kid's mountain bike and tried to do a jump and ended up with the handlebars into my ribs. And then yesterday, I got out of bed and I've done my back.
You are walking like an old man.
Doing nothing else than getting out of bed. It is absolutely ridiculous. So I'm twisted and listed over onto one side and I'm tilted and it takes me about 3 or 4 steps to get warmed up to even be able to straighten myself up. So you know you're old when that's happening.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another time you know when you're old.
Yeah.
The other day I was just lying on the couch looking out at the garden out the window and it was pouring rain and I looked out and I went, geez, that rain's good for the garden. And you go, what? How on earth in my mind am I thinking that the rain is going to be good for the garden?
Yeah.
We are getting you to finish this sentence. You know you're old when, because Beck, your friends are now having menopause chats
the
on
group
their
chat
apps.
Is not who did you pash last night. It's, you know, what are you taking to get rid of your hot flushes?
Mm. I know
so
the
sad.
Feeling.
So sad.
I got out of bed yesterday for no reason whatsoever and I've done my back. Just putting one foot on the floor, got up and went, there it is, listing to the right pretty badly now. Cannot stand up straight. You know you're old when. Jess from Morford Vale, finish the sentence.
Well, you definitely know you're old when your 8-year-old daughter turns around to you and says you were born in the olden days.
Yes, that is a very good point. Absolutely. In the olden days. What about Sandy on the text line? You know you're old when you get home from work and put your PJs straight on.
Oh, PJs and Uggies and getting the bra off. There's nothing better.
Absolutely. Brittany, you know you're old when your 6-year-old asks, what is a CD, Mum?
Yeah.
Here's a great one. Is this Sean Tate? You know you're old when you ask, you tell your 20-year-old that Tina Turner has passed away and she said, who's that?
Oh, no.
Oh, yep, okay. You know you're old when you don't understand any of these, memes.
Oh, I remember when it was just the mall's ball.
Where are my glasses? Hold on, they're on my head.
What?
Huh? You know you're old when you call the council just to talk to someone.
We're unpacking this morning on 131060. My group chats now tend to be about hormone replacement or medical conditions that we're suffering from.
Harmony Plus.
Yeah,
really
Harmony
good.
Plus is the tip, apparently, according to the chat. Ladies, if you're looking for it, I haven't tried it yet, but get on to Harmony, Happy Hormone Harmony Plus. I
Very
think.
Good if the pause is knocking on the door.
Yeah.
It gets rid of those hot flushes.
The pause is knocking.
Okay, Jenna, you know you're old when...
You know you're old when you get really excited that you got a vacuum cleaner for your birthday as a birthday present.
Oh,
but I don't know what's worse, the fact that I asked for it or the fact that I nearly cried when I actually got what I asked for.
Oh, Jenna. It's not a Dyson stick vacuum, is it?
No, it's worse. It's probably, it's Abyssal. So it like helps clean carpets and stuff.
Oh, now I'm excited. It's a two-in-one, Jenna.
Exactly. Oh, so I was like so excited.
Amazing. Actually, I asked for a steamer for Christmas so I could steam my clothes instead of ironing them, and it's a game changer. I love my steamer.
Right, you know you're old when you ask for a steamer. Mike from Paradise, you know you're old when?
When you work with people that don't remember when the internet wasn't around.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, we've got a few of those here. When you used to have to look something up in your Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia to complete an assignment.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mike. Isn't it funny when you think you used to do your school assignments?
Mm.
Now, there's no need to go to the library anymore.
You'd have to get library books to complete an assignment.
Or you'd be sitting there going through the encyclopedia, which was printed probably years and years and years before, and that's how you're grabbing all your information. Whereas now, you just sit there and go, Google, bang, and within about 5 seconds, you've got everything. The world is just completely different.
Yes, it's so different now. Michelle in Mawson Lakes, you know you're old when?
You know you're old when you get dressed up, you put your high heels on, you're walking onto the dance floor, and your knee gives out from under you, and I've now got x-rays and an ultrasound on Friday.
Michelle, were you busting some moves or you didn't even get that far?
I didn't even get that far. Oh. I hadn't even made it onto the dance floor.
Oh, Michelle. Are you going through the pause too, Michelle?
Well, no, I've just been through mine, so good luck.
Minnie in Salisbury, you know you're old when?
Hi, guys. You know you're old when you're getting ready to go out with the girls on a Saturday night and you're doing your eyebrows and all of a sudden you spot a white hair in the brows.
No. Yeah, or downstairs.
No?
Or downstairs, yes. Okay. Yes, possibly.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minnie and Beck, for all of that information.
I haven't, but the time will come.
Yep.
Right, okay.
Just updating you
on
the Lady Garden.
Yeah, all right. Leanne, you know your old when.
When you have to start plucking that rogue hair from your chin.
Oh, Leanne, it used to be you're picking your pimples on your chin, and now before you know it, you're plucking the hairs. I'm there with you as well.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Well, Rebecca Morse, we discover things about you all the time. And when you were telling us about a dream the other day that we had to put to our dream analyst, Jane Teresa Anderson. This is how it rolled out.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, I dreamt that my husband married my 20-year-old daughter. Halfway through the wedding, I interrupted it and said, "This can't happen. Are you all crazy?" I was looking sharp, though. I had a white shirt on. And then my husband's main concern about me calling the wedding off is that we missed an opportunity to get some really nice new family photos.
The thing about dreams is they can shock us, but the most important thing is to say that everyone that appears in the dream is not who they appear to be. So you're not dreaming about your husband, you're not dreaming about your daughter, and you look at the overall storyline, and your overall storyline is, oh, there's something happening that's going to perhaps make us look good in some photos or make me look young. And at the end of the dream, though, you say, no, look, hey, I look sharp enough as I am. I'm good. And maybe I not only look sharp in this white shirt, but maybe I'm mentally sharp too. Maybe I'm sharper than I was when I was 20. So the whole dream is about this dilemma of, what do you do when you get older? Do you continue to want to appear young physically, appeal to a younger generation?
Oh,
or are you happier to go with what's sharp?
Oh, Jane, are you a real dream expert or am I being pranked?
I think you were very, very wise in your dream, Beck. I mean, everyone will be saying, no, go for the sharp. This is me. This is better than when I was 20.
So, Jane, can I get this right? Beck's daughter in the dream is actually Beck.
Yeah, it's looking at Beck Beck remembers herself when she was 20.
That's messed up.
Like to be. Yeah, you don't really, really, really want to be 20 again.
I don't want to be 20, but I wouldn't mind that plump skin.
Oh, dear. Wasn't that a fascinating insight, though?
Yeah, it was a fascinating insight. I think it was all rubbish.
Come on. No, but when you look at all those different things and then you realise that what you're dreaming, it's not actually the people you're dreaming about. It's perhaps you.
Yeah.
Being that person.
Enough of a spotlight on me. I'm squirming under the spotlight. It's time for me to turn that spotlight on you, Mark Soderstrom, because you have confessed about a recurring dream.
I do. I cannot shake this one. It happens every couple of months.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have that analysed with our dream decoder next, buddy. You're not getting away with it. All right. You have analysed my dream, and it turns out I'm a little messed up and scared of aging, which is not at all true. So it's your turn, Soda. Yes. You have been having a recurring dream. What is it?
Look, I've been having this dream for the better part of 20 odd years.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. And I reckon it happens every few months at least. Okay. And it's a really weird one. You know those ones that are so vivid that when you wake up, you feel like it's actually still real life and it takes you, you know, a good 5-10 seconds to go, hang on, no, that's not actually what happened. Right. I have this continue recurring dream that I have not finished or completed my university degree.
Oh.
Now, I did a Bachelor of Education, right? Look, nothing to really write home about. It wasn't overly that exciting. I studied physical education and psychology and was a school teacher
for a while. But you did finish it. You actually finished it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I copied my way through the whole thing.
In your dream,
I get to this point all the time and I sit there and it's the deadline has come. And I cannot get the work done in time, right? So when I get my result, the parchment or whatever they called it, right, there are a number of units short, which means I've not completed the degree. And I think, well, that's 4 years at university that I've done.
Wasted.
Yep, absolutely wasted. But the thing is, there's no way to be able to complete it. So it's not as though I can do another semester or anything like that. Like that
You've
is
lost
it.
The opportunity.
Yep. And I look at it and go, that is 4 years gone, done and dusted, without any achievement whatsoever.
And is there a sense of sort of panic around it?
Oh, absolutely.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, and it's that real fear. And I don't know if it makes any difference, but I'm always in the school canteen when I'm reading the parchment and you sort of get that, open up the letter and look at it and just go, I haven't done it. Why haven't I done it? Why haven't I completed it?
And you're blaming yourself?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. I'm not an expert.
I don't know who to blame.
All right, I'm not an expert.
Do you have any dreams like that where you haven't finished something or you feel like you haven't completed something?
I have a recurring dream that I'm running late to work, most likely the news desk when I used to be at Channel 10, and I couldn't get there in time and I was running on the spot and I could hear the news theme playing and I just couldn't physically get there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe similar. And then I think that's to do with not being good enough.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, as I said, I'm not an expert. Okay. We've got our dream decoder, Jane, standing by to get inside your head.
Right. What does it mean? Does it mean I'm incomplete?
Ooh,
does it mean I've wasted my life?
Maybe.
Does it mean I have regrets?
I think all of the above.
Now. Dream decoder, help us interpret
the weird stuff we've been dreaming. All right, I've been through it. Soda, it's time for you to be under the microscope with our dream expert, Jane Theresa Anderson. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Hi, Jane. Well, my issue is here that I'm continuing to have this dream that I haven't actually finished my university degree. Now, it's probably no great feat because it was a Bachelor of Plagiarism, essentially. It was a Bachelor of Education. I wasn't the greatest teacher of all time, but I keep having this dream, and it comes up probably every, month or so, and I feel like I haven't completed the units to qualify for the degree, and I'm in the canteen at the university looking at the results going, no, I haven't done it, and I've run out of time, so I can't actually do it. And I think, well, I've wasted all these 4 years because I didn't get to complete it.
When did you start having the recurring dream? Any idea how far back it goes?
Oh, yeah, Jay, go up for as long as I can remember. Yeah, okay. 20 years plus more.
Yeah, it's a dream that a lot of people have. I have it from time to time too. Mm. And my version is, no, I've already got my degree or I'll be back at school. No, I've not only finished school, I've got my degree as well. Yeah. So it means different things for different people. But for a lot of people, it can come up, say, when you feel that you're probably often someone who's actually really good at what you do, but you question yourself, like, am I really qualified to do that? Am I really good at that? I'm feeling tested. And it brings back all those feelings about sitting exams or not sitting them back at school and university. So it's different for everybody, but it can have that general kind of feeling. The key is to think back to how you felt when you were at school or at uni and then think, well, why would I be getting back in touch with that feeling at this time in my life now?
So what you're essentially saying, is that a bit like imposter syndrome?
Yeah, it's very much like imposter syndrome. And another angle of it can be, you know, a lot of us went to university not so much to satisfy what we wanted to do, but to satisfy what our parents wanted us
yes.
to do, or society wanted us to do.
Yep.
And so when in day-to-day life now, we sometimes are on the edge of that. We're thinking, am I doing this because it's something I really want to do, or am I doing this because I'm still living up to my dad's expectations or to what society expects of me? So your dreams of being back at school and college can be sort of processing a lot of that stuff too. So again, it's different for everybody, but if you can sort of tune into how did I feel in the dream, that will often give you the clues.
So did you suffer from imposter syndrome?
Oh, without doubt.
Really?
Oh, that makes enormous sense. Oh, yeah.
But you're so successful.
You're kidding me. I can't believe I've got this job and I've been waiting to get the sack from Channel 7 for the last 18 years.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely.
That surprises me.
Feel that every single day.
Oh, doll, give me a yeah. hug.
Oh, dear. Well, Jane, you've hit the nail on the head again. I'm an imposter.
No, you're not an imposter, but you feel that you're an imposter. And again, it's often the people that are the most successful that feel that way because you question yourself, and that's a good thing to question yourself, but you're not an imposter. You're very good at what you do.
Oh, I'm not quite sure about that, but thank
you.
Group
therapy session.
Thank you for your kind words.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Now, you can give us a call anytime, 13 10 60, or send us a text 0488 52 107. Beck, just a few minutes ago, you were telling us about Chris Hemsworth and a workout video that has busted the internet, something like 17 million views of him doing leg day.
It was a public service announcement.
Yeah, it's showing that there are three legs in his leg day. We've just got a text come through, and it is from Lucy. She said, OMG, Beck. That Chris Hemsworth video, you've made my day, hashtag three legs.
With three hard eyes emojis. I'll see yes. you, Lucy. I'm Brilliant. Here to help.
There you go. Now, Beck, you were just mentioning before the term be there with bells on.
Yeah, I just shot off a quick email the other day going, yep, be there with bells on. And then I hit send and it was to like a Gen Z and I thought, where did that even come from? And what does it even mean, be there with bells on? Where did it come from?
Is that the first time you've actually stopped and thought, what does this actually mean?
You need to think about the words you use. They're powerful.
I can give you an answer. Back in the United States in the early days, right, obviously long before cars and so forth, there were horse-drawn carts. And then what they used to do is the collars of the horses were fitted with headdresses with bells on, right? Yeah. So if a wagon ever got stuck or bogged and someone came and helped them, you would have to give your bells as a gift to the person that got you out.
Oh.
Right? So what would happen would be if you got there safely, you'd get there with bells on. If you got there after being bogged, you'd get there with no bells. So be there with bells on mean that you had a safe trip and you'll be looking forward to going there.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
It's a long story.
Absolutely, but that is exactly where it come from. I've got another one for you. Oh. What about, you know this saying, the cat got your tongue.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Right, when you've, you remain silent over something. What about this one? Right, it came from ancient Egypt where liars' tongues were cut out as punishment and fed to cats.
No! So it was quite literal that the cat actually had your tongue.
Oh. Yeah. So if you remain silent, it's because that's the issue. What about, you'll love this one. Caught red-handed. What does that mean?
Yeah, you're caught in the act of doing something.
Right, what about this law? That if someone butchered an animal that didn't belong to them, right, this is in the old days, and he'd be punished if he was caught with blood on his hands. If he didn't have blood on his hands and they were clean, he wouldn't be punished.
Yeah, of course.
Pretty simple.
Caught red-handed. Yeah. How have these lasted all of these years? Because many of them are ancient laws, particularly when we're talking about Egypt. Yeah. Where the cat's got your tongue. Right, what about this final one here? Yeah. Close but no cigar.
Yeah, you're almost there, but you don't quite make it. Has it got to do with Monica Lewinsky?
No. In the 19th century, carnival games were actually targeted at adults, not kids, right? So the prizes weren't big stuffed toys that you'd win. Prizes were actually cigars. Hey. So if you didn't win, but you just missed, you were close,
but no cigar.
There you go. Beck, see, I've just enlightened you and everyone on a whole range of sayings.
I'm here with Bell's
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Beck and Soda's Morning Quickie.
Okay, producer Rach is in here. What do we need to know, young Rachel?
Good morning. Well, Parliament is debating new laws today, which could see protesters go to jail for up to 3 months or receive a $50,000 fine for obstructing a public place. So that is actually 66 times higher than the current fine, which is $750.
Okay. Mm. This is a reaction to the Extinction Rebellion protests a couple of weeks ago. The woman who abseiled down from the Morfitt Street Bridge, which was extremely disruptive and not behaviour I would condone. But that is a knee-jerk reaction. That is way too high.
It was, of course, the Santos building too, all the situations there. There's still a bit of paint getting around on that building from all of the Extinction Rebellion people. You reckon it's too high?
I think that's too high. I think South Australians have a history of peaceful protest, and while, yes, that was very disruptive,
it's not peaceful, though.
That's not peaceful, but it's not $50,000.
Shut the bridge down.
Politicians wanted to be seen to be doing something because the public were annoyed about that. It's not.
Don't we need a deterrence?
Not that high.
Sort of thing?
Not that. I mean, 750 is probably a little unders.
Yeah.
But 50 grand, it feels like they've plucked a number out of the sky to make it look like they're doing something. It's
well, they are
hard.
Doing something. They are trying to do something. They're actually trying to stop people from doing that. Are there going to be today protests about people protesting about the protest laws?
There have been protests about people's right to protest.
There's a big two-page protest in the middle of the advertiser today. I love a protest.
Maybe I'll pop on down there.
You've got a bit of protest about you, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been to the Women's March before. I like a megaphone and a slogan T-shirt.
And hairy armpits.
All right, moving on.
I've had laser.
Controversial in today's paper, child psychologist Michael Cargreg has come out and said that participation medals at kids' sports actually does more harm than good. He reckons that kids won't strive for excellence if they're always handed an award and that it doesn't teach them anything about real life.
Yep, I'm with him. Absolutely. This has been a beef of mine for a long, long time with kids. I can remember Felix came home from school once. He goes, Dad, look, I won this ribbon, and it was from the swimming sports ages ago when he was a youngster, and it had I tried on the ribbon. I go, you didn't win it, mate. You didn't win it. You know, you actually just were given that. But all the kids now, for all of their sport, they get a medal.
Wow.
And I just think that, look, life is not a participation sport. Life is merit-based.
Yeah. And also, when you get to high school, you are going to start to lose. And if you haven't lost and learned how to deal with the emotions around loss in primary school, then you have a tanty and you can't manage it. It's just, it's not realistic.
Well, the funny thing I always look at is, especially junior school sport, the littlies, they don't keep score. Okay, and
they do in netball, but what, not in football?
No, of course not. They don't for the little ones. But guess what? At the end of the game, they always say, who won? The other day, I had my little one playing under sevens football, and my daughter and I were watching, and she was counting the score for both teams the whole time. And then she go, 24-14. And people on the sidelines on the mum goes, no, we're not scoring. And then she go, 6 points. 30-14 and kept yelling it out. You've got to actually, I think, teach people about the right for competition.
I agree. You do get some ridiculous awards as a child as well. Participation awards, you know, most improved.
What did you get?
Yeah, 13-10-60. What did you get? What useless, meaningless award did you get as a kid? I got most improved at tennis.
Yes.
And it basically meant that I started not being able to hit a ball. And towards the end, I could just get it over the net.
In the end, you made contact.
I made contact, and I got a trophy.
I can remember we used to get the McDonald's participation award like at footy. And then what would happen was you'd get your little certificate and you could tear off the side and take it to Macca's and go and redeem it for a cheeseburger.
I remember that.
Remember those?
Oh,
the encouragement awards.
The encouragement award. Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, second is first loser.
13-10-60. Give us a buzz. What was the award you picked up as a kid?
Child psychologist Michael Cargreg has said that participation awards may be actually damaging our kids because they don't learn to lose and they don't learn to strive for excellence. And I kind of agree with him.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree 100%. I think that developing that resilience is because you've got to understand, Beck, when you start to go for jobs when you're a kid and you're a little bit older and you're not going to get them sometimes, you have to understand that ability that life isn't about everyone getting an opportunity.
Yeah, you got to learn to lose because when you're an adult, you lose a lot daily.
That's what life's about. Ready?
So we asked on 13-10-60, what sort of token award did you receive? Renee and Andrew's farm, it was your daughter.
Yeah, so my daughter, like, they always have like a big sports day at their school, right? My daughter's house team won the award for spirit. What is that? What is that? My son then came home and was roasting my daughter because she was so excited. We won the spirit award. He goes, my house won the actual sports award. Your house just won an award for going, yay, we're here, spirit. And she is very, very competitive, right? So she is a sore winner and she's a very sore loser. So those two were stuck in like an argument, right? And it was like the Tasmanian devil, and then the argument went inside and they were still yelling about it. And she was adamant that her team won because they got the Spirit Award. No one should get a participation award.
Yeah. I'm with you, Renee. They just cheered the loudest. They all had their colours on. That's why they had the best manner.
They did the chant the best.
Yeah. Just having a little chat about participation awards. Psychologist Michael Carr-Greg has come out and said, and look, this is a bit of an oldie, isn't it? An oldie but a goodie, where people are really questioning the chance of giving these kids, well, a medal for turning up, because is it creating the resilience? Is it creating the desire and the strength and the ability to get through life? Because life isn't a participation sport, Beck. Life is a challenge. Yes. Get out there and seize it by the throat.
You're going to take an L every day of your life when you become an adult, mate.
You know, take a what?
Take
what?
An L.
What does that mean?
That's what the kids say.
What do you mean take an L? What does that mean?
Take an L, take a loss.
Oh, right.
I saw it in a meme once, and I just thought I'd casually place it into conversation like I say it all the time. Right. And you didn't let me get away with it.
That hasn't worked, no.
Well, no, because I couldn't have the conversation because it halted the conversation. Yeah, I didn't know what it meant.
You either get a W.
Right. Yeah, oh, like the football.
You get an L.
An L. Okay. Yeah.
I had to Google it when I first read it, and now I'm just sprinkling it into the combo.
Nice.
Anyway. It's like that line out of The Incredibles. If everybody's special, that means no one is. Do you know what I mean?
Good.
If everyone wins, then there's no real winner. The joy of my primary school life was when I would get a test back.
Yes.
And little Becky had done particularly well, and I'd look straight to the second page and I'd look down the bottom and I would know that I nailed it and made my teacher happy if there was a scratch and sniff sticker.
Oh, the little fruit ones.
Fruit, or I think my favourite was the popcorn, popcorn. I didn't need a trophy, I didn't need a medal, a scratch and sniff sticker was everything to me as a child.
If you failed, they should have given you the little poo sticker so you could scratch that and give that a sniff and go, Jesus Christ, I need to get some work done.
Back and soda for breakfast. 6 to 9 weekdays. Get SAFM's Beck and Soda anywhere, anytime on the free listener app. SAFM.